Hello, welcome to Astrology Alchemy. I'm Sheila Belanger, your host for this podcast. Alchemy is defined as a seemingly magical process of transformation. Spiritual alchemy is the process of pursuing the gold of your true nature by transmuting the unrefined limiting parts of yourself. In this podcast, I'll offer you inspiring insights from current astrology cycles that support your path of turning your personal lead into gold. More resources are available at the website on theedgesofchange.com. Welcome to episode number 252 of the Astrology Alchemy Podcast. I'm your host and guide, Sheila Belanger. Here's a phrase from this week's poem for the podcast. Until one day they start to grow. In this powerful week of change, the seasons shift. We go into equinox. On Tuesday, March 19th, the sun enters Aries at 8:06 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Those of us in the Northern Hemisphere have the blessing of going into spring. New birth, seed sprouting. Warm weather at some point, depending on where you are in the Northern Hemisphere. And those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, you get to have that very beginning of autumn starting to court you in some way. This is a powerful time in the year because the sun is now starting over again. In the zodiac wheel, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac and Pisces is the last. So every time we have equinox, spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere, we have this new beginning. The sun is the hero, heroine, conscious self. It's starting anew. And Aries, this first sign, this fire sign of initiation, let's go for it, let's go try it. I'm young, I'm going to the edge, let's go. So you might notice where you feel some of that spring energy coming forward, or fall energy, depending on where you are on the world. And also this sense of what seeds are starting to grow, or what are you tracking is there. And then on Wednesday, March 20th, Mercury is conjunct Chiron at 18 degrees of Aries. And for my new listeners, don't worry about the degree measurements. I always say, if it doesn't make sense to you, just follow the archetypal story. Mercury is the communicator, storyteller. It has everything to do with how our mind operates and how we express ourselves. It doesn't have to be words. Chiron is this amazing character in our solar system that's called a centaur. It's kind of an asteroid comet. It shapeshifts. And it represents symbolically the archetype of the wounded healer or the shapeshifter. Chiron is very much about what wants to be healed. What old wounds personally, collectively, ancestrally are ready to be shifted. Now, Chiron's been in Aries for a bit of time, and Aries, when it's there, you are invited to shift the old pain around not being able to be yourself, Aries, not having agency, Aries, not feeling you can just go forward and move. And also the deep wounded side of Aries is frustrated and angry, feeling caught. So there may also be some healing work around being boxed or caught that you want to really let come forward. Now, Mercury and Chiron, when they come together, it says you're ready to listen to the stories of healing that are present for you. What stories, what narratives are too old for you? You've outgrown them, or they're caught, as Carolyn Mace says, in the woundology, you know, where you get caught in a you're kind of in an eddy of like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is painful. Not to make light of where you're suffering, but to change, to heal the narrative. So you're not just focused on what's wrong and what's, wounded about you, but rather you start to activate those narratives, those communications, those stories about your courage, Aries, your courage to move forward, your courage with the wounded healer archetype. Say, this is what I've learned from my wounds, and this is how I'm going to be empowered in how I express and move forward in my life in a courageous way. This is very powerful because Mercury's going to be retrograde, seeming to go backwards in its orbit in Aries in a couple of weeks. We have Mercury in Aries for a much longer time, and in that retrograde motion, Mercury will then be connected to Chiron three times. So this first conjunction of Mercury and Chiron sort of sets the stage. There's two more times that Mercury is with Chiron. One, the next one is April 15th, when Mercury is retrograde in a review cycle. I'll say more about that later. And then the cycle finishes on May 6th, when it comes back after it's seemingly moved forward in its orbit. Mercury comes back and rejoins Chiron. So recognize that we're stepping now into a number of weeks of deep change, really a 7-week period. So give yourself time, really be tracking what healing stories are emerging, what old ancestor wounded stories do I track that I'm caught in that maybe is unconsciously coming out, and what kind of courageous actions of healing can I do to shapeshift them? And also, you might find yourself more willing in this 7-week period to speak up or express the unique individual wisdom you carry, what you've learned from your healing journey. Go for it. Thursday, March 21st, Venus is conjunct Saturn at 12 degrees of Pisces. Now, Venus is the relational one, the lover, the magnetic yin, drawing to you what you want. And lover doesn't have to do just with human, you know, romantic relationships. It's what you love, how you love, how you care. And Saturn is the responsible one, the one who wants things to be integrous and purposeful. And when they come together, when two planets come together, those archetypes are merging their energy. So when you have Venus and Saturn together, there's some really interesting possibilities of how you might respond with your sensitivity to this. First of all, Venus-Saturn can have an energy of showing up to what you love, you know, taking responsibility for what you care about. This could be something in your family. This could be something with social activism, which what's happening in the world right now, saying, I'm taking a stand. I care about this. I'm going to step in and show up. Okay. It also can mean that you need to do a reality check with your relationships, because Saturn energy is very grounded and realistic. I always say Saturn has a certain wake up and smell the coffee quality to it as an archetype. Sometimes in its wounded side, it's really difficult because it's the inner critic and it's the naysayer. In its healthy expression, Saturn says, oh, time out. Let's check this. Is this sustainable? Is this working for you? You know, and because Venus has to do not just with our relationships, but our values and our resources like money and time, this Venus-Saturn cycle may, for you, you may sensitively track, take a look at my bank account. You know, take a look at where I'm spending my life energy, my money, my time. You know, how much screen time am I doing? Okay, is that really working for me? Like, come on. Particularly because Venus and Saturn are in the sign of Pisces, which is a water sign of dreaming and visioning and mystery and spirituality and mysticism. It's very unconscious, non-cognitive. It's not linear. It's not logical. So Venus in Pisces is really inviting you to love your dreaming. Love what's happening in your emotional fluid changes. And Saturn in Pisces also gives this opportunity to like take responsibility for your dreams, for your aspirations, for your compassion, your sensitivity, right? So a positive challenge may come this week where you're like, I've got this dream and I'm going to stand up for it. I'm going to take responsibility for it. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and move forward with it. So notice if that might be there. Now, I also want to speak about the wounded side of the archetypes because they're like us. We have so many facets of ourselves. And the wounded side of Saturn, as I already alluded to, is quite challenging. It's a fear-based control energy. It's a dominator. I'm in control. I'm the boss. And it's very constricted. And sometimes I think of it as very constipated. And what it can represent in its wounded side is a controlling, dominating authority. And Venus in the wounded side of this archetype can be like wanting, you know, pleasure and joy, but it can be a sense of indulgence, overdoing it, going for the sugar, if you will, going for the sweets in a way that's unhealthy, sweets in quotation mark. And also the wounded side of Venus is accommodation. It has a lot to do with our partnership with the world, with people, with animals, with ideas. And Venus in its wounded side can be too much a people pleaser. And so you put the two difficult expressions of these archetypes together, Venus and Saturn, and you have this people pleaser to authorities. In some ways of looking at this, it's the father's daughter is one way that we talk about it, but don't get caught in any genderized roles. It's more the obedient daughter. You know, I'll follow the rules of the patriarchy. I'll follow the rules of the authorities that I've given my power away to. And one of the things about Pisces as a zodiac sign and energy for these two is Pisces also says, don't go under spells. Track the spells. You know, where have you lost yourself? Where have you lacked boundaries and you're enmeshed in something? So just notice if something's stirring this week when you have the eclipse is coming, equinox, let's start over with the Aries energy. And then you realize, ooh, I've been doing people pleaser and I've been giving my power away to this external authority, following their rules, a person, a situation, a mindset, a paradigm. It's like, ooh, maybe I want to break that spell, huh? So just notice what you notice. And then on Friday, March 22nd, we have another important shift. Mars goes into the sign of Pisces and will be there until April 30th. So we have this shift of an archetype traveling in a different energetic field. Now, Mars is the advocate. This is a balance to Venus. That Venus and Mars are often seen as the relationship or lover archetypes. Venus is more magnetic and pulls in yin, what she desires, what they desire. Mars is more the dynamic, I'm going after what I want. It's very young and it's very forthful and forthright and let's do it, let's move on it. And Mars is just leaving the sign of Aquarius, where it's been in the last 6 weeks. And Aquarius is a very mental sign of bigger picture and seeing how things go together, but it's a little bit more distance, it's more mental. Nothing wrong with it. Pisces is deeply feeling, as I said, very empathetic. So as Mars enters Pisces, it's a very paradoxical signature because the archetype itself wants to go and do and move and, you know, take a stand, go for it. It's a champion. It's a warrior. It's a warrioress. It's an advocate. And Pisces is fluid and mysterious. It's like water. So how do you take action when you're water? Well, you can do it a lot of ways, but you might notice as this shift, if you're sensitive to it, that you're like, whoa, I feel things a lot more deeply. You know, suddenly there's something in me that is actively more in tune with deeper undercurrents, unexamined feelings, unconscious material. Your dream life might get more active for you. Your night dreams and your daydreams. And one of the most important things to be tracking in this 6 weeks is the unconscious reactivity to emotions you haven't looked at. Because Mars in its wounded side is very impulsive and aggressive. It's very reactive. It doesn't think, it just does. And because it's now going to be moving through Pisces, you might be activating awareness of unconscious material Pisces. Old hurts, old unresolved feelings, things that your ego is denying is happening emotionally, that the Mars and Pisces in your sensitivity, you realize, oh, I'm really pissed about that, or I really have some fear about that. And the archetype, when it's unconscious and wounded, just reacts. So you want to really like count to 100 in this 6 week period before you lash out at somebody or yourself. And if you can, have the courage, Mars, to say, well, what's really going on underneath? I know I'm pissed. I know I'm afraid. I know I'm anxious. Who wouldn't be right now, given the incredible suffering and toxic leadership that we have in the world? Not making light of that. But I'm inviting you to have the courage to look at your feelings with compassion, to track what's going on in your hidden worlds and not just shoot from the hip, because then you just add to the suffering. You know, it's like your unmetabolized emotional material is like a ball you shoot out and splash everybody else with, which is what's happening in the world. And then why we have wars and why we have so much suffering. So there's so much unowned, unmetabolized pain and suffering that we just keep lobbing it forward to someone else. So have some courage with this Mars in Pisces time to really be with us. And then finally, it is a huge week, and I need to say this now because it's coming. On Monday, March 25th, we have the full moon eclipse at 5 degrees of Libra at 12 midnight Pacific Daylight Time. Of course, it'll be on Monday morning for those in the later time zones. And so this is the first of the eclipses. We have another new moon eclipse in 2 weeks, which I'll talk about later. So remember that eclipses, sometimes astrologers call them circuit breakers, because in the eclipses, one of the luminaries, the sun or the moon, has a shadow across it because of what's happening. In the case of the full moon eclipse, the sun and moon are opposite each other, right? Full moon, and the earth is between them. So what happens in a full moon eclipse is that the earth's shadow falls on the face of the moon, and so it eclipses part of the moon. And the eclipse energy is about breaking unconscious karmic patterns. And when it's eclipsing the moon is our deep instinctive nurturer, our emotional self. What feeds us? How do we connect to our own fluidity, our own emotional currents and tides? And so there's this challenge to eclipse some of your unconscious emotional patterns. Now, right now, when we have the full moon eclipse, the sun is in Aries, opposite the moon in Libra. And the Aries, I already mentioned a bit, is about this dynamic fire sign of let's get on with it. Let's have the courage to be who we are and come on, let's go. Libra is its balancing sign, where Aries is about I and the personal, I'm doing it. Libra is about the we and the balancing, you know, and being reciprocal and saying, okay, how do we adjust? How do we move together? The deep challenge of Libra as a sign is over-accommodation. And this sense of deferring your own individual needs and wants to make sure the other is okay. So you get this kind of enabler, again, people pleaser. What do you want, dear? You know, or I don't want to fight. I'm just going to go along with things. Okay, this is more the wounded side of Libra. So that's what wants to get eclipsed with this full moon eclipse. It's like, wait, you know, I can't let go of myself. Remember, Mercury's with Chiron and Aries, so these narratives that you're healing in the next couple of weeks, next month and a half, it's all right to be you, but not in place of being doormat in relationship, right? And then it also goes the other way, because sometimes the Aries energy is so self-focused that it runs over everybody else and forgets about the we, right? So that needs to also be balanced. So notice what is already rising. Most of us are super sensitive to the eclipses, and we're only a week away. And you may already have had things come up on your dance card saying, oh yeah, right, this relationship work, okay? I want to read to you what my colleague Astra Butterfly says about this lunar eclipse in Libra. The eclipse is trine Pluto at 1 degrees of Aquarius. That means it's very harmonious. Relationship, giving us an opportunity to delve deep into our relational dynamics and transform them for the better. Libra is the sign of relationships and one-on-one connections. At the full moon in Libra, we may have some epiphanies about our partnerships. It takes two to tango, and when one partner steps on another's foot, tensions may arise. But the important thing here is not that the dance has been disrupted, but rather what it's trying to tell us about the dynamics at play. Great relationships are based on the art of being present and operating from a we narrative without forgetting about the two me that make it up. A lunar eclipse is a super potent full moon. Some relationship dynamics may reach a culmination point, asking us to address them with Libra's proverbial balance and fairness. Whew. Okay. Quite a week, as always. We're just getting started because there's another eclipse on its way in 2 weeks. So here's a poem to honor the spring equinox and to honor what might be seated in you and to honor the Mercury, Chiron, and Aries, your own unique, special way of being. It's called The Cleverness of Seeds by Pat Brisson. The Cleverness of Seeds. Mexican proverb, they tried to bury us. They didn't know we were seeds. The way the maple seed twirls away from its tree and finds any available crack or crevice to slip itself into. And how the dandelion fluff is wished by children out along the wind to a new starting place. And how the burdock burr rides the fur or feather or pant leg of its unwitting assistant to get where it wants to grow. And how cherry and apple and juniper allow themselves to be eaten alive and eventually dumped on new fertile ground. And how some seeds, bold and defiant, pop off right into the face of anyone who tries to uproot their plant. And how some seeds float down rivers to oceans and are washed up on other shores. Or others are rounded up and kept in deep, dark holes until sometimes even forgotten there, until one day they start to grow, lying in wait for the rain, leaning into sunshine or managing in shade, cultivated or wild, appreciated or despised, alone or in fields of their kind, they grow. Let that poem be with you this week as you come to the equinox time, this big turning of the seasons. Whether you're cultivated or wild, you can grow. And allow yourself to be the seed you're born to be. Thanks, as always, for being with me in this journey with the podcast and the astrological energies. Thanks for all your support, telling other people about it, giving me reviews, financially supporting the podcast if you can. You can go to the podcast website for that. And just have an amazing week. Plus, what's coming up in mid-April is a doozy of an astrology cycle. Jupiter and Uranus come together in the heavens for the first time in 14 years, expanding your ability to innovate and grow. And I've got a special course called A Quest for Radical Rebirth. It's a do-it-yourself course, and it starts with a weekend workshop on March 23rd, but you can listen to the recording, and then you have 4 weeks of do-it-yourself reflections and journeys to go on. Please join me in it, A Quest for Radical Rebirth. More information is available at my website on theedgesofchange.com. If you go to the homepage, you'll see a button right there. You can click through and get details, and please plan to join me. I'll support you to open up to the power of this radical cycle of change and growth on theedgesofchange.com. Thank you so, so much. You have been listening to the Astrology Alchemy Podcast with your host, Sheila Belanger. More resources are available at the website on theedgesofchange.com. Thank you for listening. Bless your alchemical journey to embrace the gold of your true nature.